ようと。Every meeting has a purpose for coming. So this meeting also has a purpose for coming.
Okay, so we're going to have a workers' meeting. And I'm sure it's a long meeting. Are you ready for long?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
So, I learned from Hagen that different kinds of meetings, right? There are different kinds of meetings. And these meetings are tailored to meet needs according to the Holy Spirit's leading. Right? They are tailored to meet needs according to the Holy Spirit's leading. And these meetings will help the work that we do. Now, every ministry or church needs a sandwich of meetings to help its growth. Right? So they are meetings. They are a number of meetings that can strengthen each other. So according to campaigning, it says they are teaching meetings where these meetings, the word of God in prayer means, is that there's going to be the teaching of the word of God. Right? So what's primarily done in these meetings is that the word of God is taught. Okay? And then they are evangelistic meetings. Now, these evangelistic meetings, the clash of these meetings is to reach the lost. Right? So when we have an evangelistic meeting, what we're going to be doing is that we're going to be focusing on the lost. Only, there's nothing else that's going to be done. Right? Then there are healing meetings where primarily, of course, you know, the sick are prayed for. And these meetings are wired to meet specific needs. They are wired. They take different shapes and they take different forms. So, even as a minister, the preparations I will need to make for a teaching meeting might be quite different from a healing meeting. Because they are not the same. But Kenneth even says the reasons why the church does not really experience growth is because we don't know what God is doing per every meeting. So we just smash everything on the wall. Then there are prayer meetings where prayer only is done. It's stretched. So when you come for the prayer meeting, it's prayer till you drop. So those are prayer meetings, right? Then there are Holy Ghost meetings. Holy Ghost meetings. Now, in Holy Ghost meetings, this is what I'm teaching you, the different types of meetings, is so that we can together be very apt when it comes to God's plan. Because God's plan has to do with what He wants to prepare meeting. It's a very good thing. So there are Holy Ghost meetings. Now, in Holy Ghost meetings, of course, Holy Ghost meetings feels like a sandwich of other things in how the Holy Ghost wants to move in the place. So, in a Holy Ghost meeting, the Word of God is preached or taught. Right? The Word of God is preached or taught, right? The Word of God is preached or taught, right? Right. I'm not saying right. So, the Word of God is preached or taught. The Spirit giving a free course. You could be the workers meeting on how it moves with anything. You have to be. Call you tomorrow. So, a prayer meeting is where prayer is primarily done. A Holy Ghost meeting, the word is what? The Spirit is not taught. The Spirit giving a what? A free course. Then, needs are met. And there is joy. So, in a Holy Ghost meeting, we are going to be looking at these things. Now, there's also what is called a workers' meeting. I'm sure some of you might have missed it, but I tried to give you a clue as to what the workers' meeting was. But there are also workers' meetings, or workers' congresses, or workers' symposiums, or workers' rally. They are just all synonyms to point to a reality. Now, in workers' meetings, this kind of a gathering is specific for those who will be key, or those who are key members of the church. That's why it's not an open meeting. Do you understand?
Yes.
I try to tell you that anybody who is not really here, you cannot really benefit. But the reason why I allow some of your disciples who are not really key is because I feel like what I'm going to teach you now is going to set the tone for our state as a church, as a ministry. You see that? So I felt like, okay, then you can allow some few ins because it's going to set the tone, right? So there are workers' meetings where people who are primarily gathered are a workforce. When you say something is a workforce, you see that? It's,
yes, thank you, that's much better.
So, the workforce, it's the force of the work. It's what makes the work happen. See, when you go to school, or when you go to campuses, there are workforces, isn't it? Imagine if you go as a student, go to the hospital, and sure, pharmacists and doctors are here. So there's, you go there and you say, I came to see the doctor, and then they say, there's no doctor available. Okay, this is fine. How about the nurse? The nurse has been traveled for 2 months. Okay, how about what do you call it? The word, the physician assistant. So, oh, ask for me. He doesn't live in the town. He lives 4 kilometers or 7 kilometers away. Okay, that's very fine. Okay. So, right now, my wife is in labor, and the water just broke. So we're sort of looking for somebody who will help her. Then they say, oh, we are very sure. There's a farmer behind the hospital, right? Can you get him for us? Say, but I want to really be sure. Have you? Is this your first time? Say, no, I really have knowledge in agriculture, so I can apply to helping somebody conceive. And so you get to realize that there are actually people. Do you know when you go to the hospital, there are few people that are around the hospital. If you go to any company, there are few people people around your company. I went to ECG some time ago. They said there was something with lights. I had to go and see. And I went there, and there were a lot of people in the place. But there were just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Just give people margin of these people. It means that when we're talking about the workforce of any organization, we're talking about the people that make. That's why it's called enforced. The people who are lazy, when the force comes, they can't stay. They can't stay. Now, it's not shocking that Jesus uses this word many of the time. I remember somebody complaining to me while we were at ECG Place. Look at all of these things. How can you have all of these people in the room here? And you just have like 8 people. It means that the workforce is very minimal. It's not too much. And it means that you will not be able to be effective. Do you see that? You will not be able to be effective. You're not able to be effective. Jesus uses the same analogy. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, we're reading to 38. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with what?
Compassion
for them. Because they were what? Weary and scattered, like sheep, having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers, our few. The word they actually gave us is workers. So there seems to be a lot of harvest in a place. But the laborers are few. The laborers are few. So look what he says. He says, pray ye therefore that the Lord of this harvest might send our
laborers,
more laborers or more workers into the what? The harvest. So Jesus' belief in the heart is not that he's saying that there is no harvest. There is a harvest. But the people who will actually move into the field and harvest the harvest are very few. So you will have to pray that God will send in more workers into the harvest. Now he is actually the Lord of the harvest, but he's actually saying that I can't harvest. Even though I'm the Lord of the harvest, I can't harvest. So you will have to pray that God will send in more people who are workers on the field. Then the harvest can be harvested. Or the crops that are ripe and ready can be harvested. So it's quite interesting that Jesus compares the work of the ministry to a farmer, which actually means that you cannot be lazy. How many people are farmers are not lazy? It's not actually a joke to farm. Yeah. So if we give you one place, you can't farm. since I took the farm. Yes, I actually know how farming is done because my grandmother had a farm.
Wow.
With my grandmother. Yes. So,
a very speech.
So I know how to go about maize and some other food crops.
Wow.
Because I saw it. So, it's work. Tilling the ground is work. Raising up the beds is work. Planting the seeds is work. Even harvesting, like the thing that you are suffering for, go and just pluck it, it's ready. It's also work. So everything seems to be work. But you see, if Jesus sees it as work, we must not see it any different. And that's the problem of young folks today. Is that they see life as we don't have to be anywhere. We just have to sit down and trust for something. But if Jesus is saying this word, we must not call it any other thing else. Jesus wants
to. Yes.
So today, having all these seeds are very, very, very falling. It dwindles down as the decades go by. And you know, while people like soft life, say no stress. Now, yes, you should be stress-free because a believer cannot be stressed, right? But there is work to be done.
Oh, yes.
That's why you have a lazy brother or a lazy sister. Do you see how painful it is?
Yeah,
how many of you have a lazy brother? It pierces your soul. You can't imagine. Why would you just finish eating? I mean, just wash. Listen to the call.
My God, wow.
Listen. So you find out that it's not. But some of you are also lazy, actually. There was what? So, it's like just complete. So, what you want to see with somebody who's really lazy, that's when you see that it's not easy to be lazy. Lord, I would say that the person is the one that would say to the lazy one, not the lazy man saying. But it is not easy because when a working man sees the lazy man, you feel pity for them. Somebody who cannot work. Oh, a lazy. How a lazy man is. Or a lazy one. Do not change the light, do not change the bulb. All is there, it's dead. Just go out and just change it. It will be dead. 2 years. The clothes are huge.
Perfect.
I really don't like washing. I don't like washing. So it's like the kitchen is in a total mess. You wear boxes like then you hang it down. So
thank you.
Yes. Yes.
When you think about it, you can't even think about it. I went to somebody's room some time ago. Since long I don't sleep, and you are not my disciple, I can't call you a disciple. You are fully. You are fully.
The place was in a total mess. Yes.
So I said, I'm not supposed to sleep there like, you were here. You have to do something about it. So, you see that it's not a good thing to be lazy. It's not. You see that today people want fast money. Right? It's so, you know, it takes a while to make good money. It takes a while. To make good money, it takes a while. Prosperity takes a considerable period of time. But somebody is going to sit behind the computer and make money instantly. Buy a car, build a house, get married. Over a 1 month period of time. If it was that easy, we would have had premiums. We would have all gone for it. Buy a car, build a house, what in a short 1 month. We need to go for some premiums. So it takes quite a considerable period of time. In fact, I'll teach you prosperity some time to come.
Wow.
What the Bible actually calls prosperity and how prosperity takes its shape. Yes, it takes quite some time. Yeah. Not very long, but it takes quite some time to be truly stable in what you want. But that's something that this generation today doesn't want to have. They don't want to work. They don't want to have to use their minds. But I believe you're different.
Amen.
So you get to realize that people do not like to work. A young lady told me some time back that she couldn't pay her fees. And she said she was going to work. I said it's a good thing to work. There's nothing that's working for her. It's going to work. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. And you are not a misfortunate person to be working while you are in school. Mm-hmm. It's not. You're not misfortunate. Yeah. Go and stand there. Says, go and stand there. But I didn't tell anybody I was going to help him later. But I said, well, it's good. It's going to work. Mm-hmm. Because if Jesus sees the concept of ministry, which we'll be talking about in a few hours ahead as well, then we must be ready to work. Do you understand?
Yes.
So, if we're going to be looking at work, then we're going to have to carefully examine God and who He is. Because if He is our God, then we must have attributes that are similar. If He's our God, then He's that perfect example that we should be looking forward to becoming. So we're going to pay attention to the concept of work and who God is when it comes to work. So we're going to use God as our example. We're going to use God as well. Before we look into it quickly, let's go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Verse 27 to 28. Okay, let me just read from verse 25. Then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart, in all that the prophets have spoken Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? So this is Jesus on his way to Emmaus. And the disciples could not realize that he was the one. So there were disciples with him, he had resurrected, they couldn't realize that he was the one walking with them. So he asked them, what's going on in the town? They kept on telling him, Jesus, they said this Jesus that died 3 days, 3 years ago, three days ago. He said he's and he's walking with them, and they can still tell that he's the one. Then this is his response. He says, oh foolish ones, slow of hearts to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Watch what he does. Then verse 27, and he began at Moses. Moses is what? The law, right? So he begins at Moses. And all the what? The prophets. He expounded to them in all the what? The scriptures. The things concerning himself. So, this is what he did in the Sunday. They had the scrolls or the Old Testament, all we got today. So he reads from Moses, which happens with Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy, right? Then the prophets, major and minor, which comprises the Old Testament, right? So what he actually does is that he expounds to them all the things concerning himself in the scriptures. That's what he did. That was some work there, don't you think so? So you go to Genesis, you say, do you see this in Genesis? It means God is this. Or it speaks about the resurrection, right? Then he goes to Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, right? Exodus. Then he expounds unto them. Then he goes to the prophets, right? They also have the Psalms. You know, he goes to the prophets, major prophets, minor prophets. Then he shows them the things in those writings that spoke about him. Now, why did he do that? He wanted to convince them that their death, burial, and resurrection was a reality. It was true. Because they did not believe that he had resurrected, right? So, if Jesus will take quite some time showing people throughout the scriptures himself, then it means there are times where we should also. Do you understand? So, when I take you to Genesis and we do a very quick study, you will get to be sure that what he's saying, or what I'm saying now, right, is a reality and it's true. He was like that before, he's like that now, he'll be like that forever. Do you understand?
Yes.
So, he expounds to them the things concerning himself. So also, you remember, he expounds to them the things concerning himself in the resurrection, I mean the death, burial, and resurrection, right? But there are also attributes or traits, like call them, of God that we can see throughout. Do you see that?
Yes.
So that's what we're going to be doing in this meeting. We're going to be looking at the concept of work or works, using God as an example. Then you will go right from the beginning and then we'll take it through down to the end. Is that okay?
Yes.
So let's see something in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Is everybody clear on what I just said?
Yes.
Who's not clear? Nobody will be able to answer. So Genesis chapter 2, verse 2 to 3. Thus, verse 2, and on the seventh day, he ended his work. Actually, I want to quickly read from chapter 1, the whole of chapter 1, into chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. And I'm going to read very fast. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was on the face of the deep. The Spirit of God was holding over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. Remember, all of the activities in Genesis chapter 1 I'm reading is work. Are you listening?
Yes.
That it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called what?
Night.
So the evening and morning were the first day. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus, God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seeds, and the fruit that yields fruits, according to its kind. Whose seed is it in itself on the earth? And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seeds according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit whose seeds is in itself according to its own kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmaments of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmaments of the heavens to give light to the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the great light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Is that work?
Yes.
Is God working?
Yes.
God set them in the firmaments of the heavens to give light to the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. So he's been working for how many days now?
4 days.
4 days. Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly about the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and every thing that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. This is that God is working. Is he working?
Yes.
And God said, let us make man in our own image according to our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the earth, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, I see. God said, I see. See, I have given you every herb that yields seeds which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seeds to you, it shall be for food. Is that work?
Yes,
also, to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to every thing that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every herb for food. And it was so. Then God saw everything that he made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus, the heavens and the earth and all of the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day, he ended his what? Work, which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from his work, which God, he rested from all his work, which God had created and had made. So, was it too fast for you to understand that God was actually working?
Yes,
he was what?
Working.
Then, on the seventh day, he did what?
Rested.
He rested from his work. What is the ratio of work to rest?
6 to 1.
6 to 1. So it means that right from the beginning, he's working. He works, 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 works. Now, this is what it means. God's idea of work far outweighs rest. You can't be this young when you be this young. Tell me, how much is that going to be?
Wow.
You be like a moving engine.
Never
getting tired.
Never getting tired.
You reject. You
never get tired.
You never get tired. That thing fatigue, that thing called fatigue. it will not be, it will not stay in your body anymore.
Amen.
It will not stay. It will not stay. Take your seat. So, he's working. So, he works 6 days and rested on the what? 6 days. Let's see something in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. Now, what did he have to say? Then God saw everything that he knew. And indeed, it was what?
Very good.
It means that he views the activities and the produces of his work in very good things. Right? He sees work and what it produced as a what? A very good thing. Some of you want to rest, what do you call it? 5 days. And work one day and play one day. That's really serious. So, God, right from the beginning, is working. You're going to become a worker of 6 days.
Amen.
Just one day of rest will be okay for you.
Amen.
Just one day of rest. You don't need 3 days of rest. I'm telling you, this meeting, it's going to set our tone for us as a ministry. For those who are here, a tool for us. It's like we know as people who can work. People who can work.
Yeah.
Take your seats. So, he sees work as a very good thing. Let me tell you something. Don't let anybody tell you that the concept of work is almost against favor. Like, the end of it, favor is there, there's hard work. And they are not against each other. It's not like when you work hard, it means that you are not, there's no favor or something. No. No. In fact, Paul, who had the grace of God very abundant in his life, labored much more than any of the disciples who are. So, I don't really do anything, but it's just the favor of God. It's just the favor of God. No, it shouldn't be that. You should work. Are you listening?
Yes.
By the time we enter into the third session, we get to understand that you're going to become workers.
Yes.
Remember, so Jesus is expounding right from the beginning, which is the law, through to the prophets. But there was the Psalms as well. So we're not going to exclude the Psalms. I could show you more verses on web in Genesis, but I want this to be very short, right? But it creates the concept, isn't it? It creates the concept. Let's look at Psalm 8, verse 3. We're going to stay in Psalms actually for a while. We're going to look at some more scriptures. Psalm 8. Psalm 8, verse 3. So David here, also a prophet, right, is considering the works of God. And he speaks about how the firmament shows his handiwork. You know, the activity of work is actually in the mind and in the hands. Right? Yes. Anything that you do that is work. It will take quite some mind and hand work. I'm sure you're also saying to take quite some feet, but the feet correlates actually with the mind. So you can say that actively, you will see that the mind will be working, the hands will be working, right? So then he's saying something in Psalms 8 verse 3. He says that when I consider your heavens, the work your fingers. The work of your
fingers.
The work of your fingers. The moon and the stars which you have within. What is man that you are mindful of? And some man that you visit. He says that when I consider the work of your fingers, how many of us can really shine shoes? You ever shine your father's shoes? Can shine shoes. Shoe shine.
Shoe shine.
Shine shoe. So the works of your fingers. I play the keyboard also. So when your hands are wet, your mind actually works. Your mind works. Or just have your mind as well. Just go to pilot. But here you see that when I consider the works of your fingers, the works reveal his greatness, his power, his passion, and his majesty. The works of the fingers of God, it reveals how great God is, how powerful he is, how majestic he is, and the precision to which he does what he does. Because remember, he says, when he actually created the heavens, when he looked at it, he said it was good. Well, he did that with his words. But there were still activities of him working to put things in order. Did you see that he divided night from day? So that's quite some work. So then he's saying, when I consider the works of your fingers. See what he says in Psalm 104. Verses number 24. This is David again. O Lord, how manifold are what? Your works. You know what manifold means? Who knows what manifold means? There is this actually a way. Whenever you don't understand the word, just pay attention to the word. Mani. Name. Folds. So in different shapes, forms, sizes, it comes in different types. He said that when I look at your words, they are many in different shapes. Have you ever seen the mountains? If you see the mountains, you've gone to the mountains. Have you ever gone to the mountains? You go to the mountains, it's a beautiful thing. Many. David is saying that how many are your works? Now, he already says in Psalms, the fingers, the works of your fingers. You see that? You see that God has a primary nature of works. He works. I'm going to show it to you. He's working today. Listen, he rested off his works from creation. But there's a work he's ongoing and doing today.
Wow.
It's not just as a
I am the Lord. Great is thy name. Worthy.
Who's that guy there? So you are giving God work. He tells Michael, look at that guy. He's giving me work. So he rested from his work of creation, but he's not resting today. I'll show it to you this week, it'll be very clear. Right? So in Psalm 104, verse 24. How manifold are your works? Then he says, in wisdom you have made them all. You know, wisdom is what? I'm telling you. So that someone can bring an issue to you. That's when you get to realize that using your mind to solve an issue is what. That's why you shouldn't tell somebody that
Oh, just this sewing behind. You are taking pencils. You could sew. You could have sewn. I just said, she just fixed my button. Why did you fix your button? Yeah? Why did you fix your button? Oh, this is great. You're looking good. I said, see you, master. I just went to this place. I said, what do people are tired. Get one paragraph. It's 22. You know, so if it was your mind, the fact that they used their mind to do the things that they were, which is the duties of the pastor, and work hard at any of the wrong things. So that was just. So, how wonderful are your words? I barely ask you for this now. Barely. Sometimes I can be there, but not see. How wonderful are your words? Let's do something in Psalm. Let's go back to Psalm 40. Psalm 40. Verses 5. Are you there?
Yes.
Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts towards us cannot be recounted to you in order. David sees works, then he asks, thoughts to works. Then he says, if I will declare a seed of them, they are more than they have been. Psalm 66, verse 3. Psalm 66 verse 2. Say to God, let's start from this one. Make a joyful shout to God all the earth. Sing out the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto him, or say to God, how awesome are your works. Through the greatness of your power, how awesome are your works. The works of God are awesome. See, God is a working God.
Wow.
Are you listening?
Yes.
I'm telling you that because we are looking at God, we're going to look at him as our example. Right?
Yes.
So, it's the works are not manifold. Manifold. See what? How awesome are your works? Then, see verses 5. Come and see the what? The works of God. The works of God. So you see that idea of not watching songs like you don't want to be up and doing. It is not God's nature. Do you see that?
Yeah.
It's not God's nature. If you are lazy in this place, you are not like him.
I want to be more like you, Jesus.
Is he working?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. So, he is a working God. See Psalm 86, verse 8. Psalm 86, verse 8.
Among the gods, there is none like you, O Lord, nor are there any works like your work.
Wow. See,
when you go to an artisan, and sometimes you go, you pay them according to the beauty of their works. Some of you can't draw at all. So you can't draw at all. So is that when they ask you to draw, there will be no payment for any work. Because there is literally no way. Come on, everyone. You can't do it. Actually, I'm so bad at drawing today.
The public are crazy.
The architects will just be, let me ask them to show you.
No. No.
That is all architects cannot do. So, when we want to pay you for your works, you say, no, this one is not worthy to pay. Just ask you. Because there is no work. There's no way. So your bosses are telling you, we have to let you go because there's no way. When we see it, we can get you out of there, and the work itself will do the work. But you are not like that. You will not find yourself not working right here. Such that people don't want to pay. People will say,
let's find you another one.
Yeah, it's true. Some of the ladies are small. You know what your mothers have been saying about you. You are very lazy. Psalm 5. Nor are there any words like your words. Let me consider your words, what you do. There is none. Can your boss say that?
Wow.
Like, when I ask your words, there's lots beside you. There's lots. I just there's a lot of people. Beside you, there's a lot. And that's why when somebody is leaving a company, you know whether the person is a good worker. When they are ready to raise the pay, pay what you want for them to do. Pay what you want to do.
Wow.
You'll be ready to raise the pay.
That's the wow.
You'll be ready to raise the pay. But when you are going to the boss, you see, boss, please, I want to come and tell you that I have a sign. Then he has to, like, he has to keep his composure your days.
Wow.
You know, reduce your days means that he's planning to reduce your days so you can work less days so that you can still be just part of what is going on.
Wow.
Should I do something about your days? Weeks.
Weeks.
Weeks. You can place so much value on yourself by working. Because maybe one is for you to find people that actually work is a very difficult thing to do. You will not be busy again.
Amen.
Psalm 92 verse 4. Psalm 92 verse 4. For you, Lord, you have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. Let God make you really glad through the works of your hands. Psalm 145:9. Psalm 145:9. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Do you know what it means to have splitted mercies over all his works? All his works are not just human beings. There's close to 8 billion people. But there are close to several hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of species of animals. And his mercies are towards all his work.
Wow.
It's quite some work. It's quite some work. It's quite some work. 143:5. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. I muse on the work of your hands. Oh, I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you. Thirsty man. God works. Anybody say that? Oh, you sleeping on this room. And you know, maybe you're thinking God has a change this sleep like 14 hours. But you, God, never sleeps.
Wow.
No, he never sleeps. Wow. I mean, that's some work. The works of his hands. So, from all of these scriptures in the Psalms, see something in Genesis which comprises the law. In the Psalms, we look at the prophets. But there's one thing you can see is that God is acting. He's acting. He's acting. He's acting. Let me tell you something. Anytime you feel like, I can't do this, it's too this, it's just in your mind. It's just in your mind. Whenever you tell yourself, I can't do this, it's just in your mind. Once your mind accepts that reality, that I can work and I'm a worker, you find it respond in the same way. So it's just your mind. So a lazy mind will be a lazy person, a lazy body. Because there is not so much work that will be done. We should have some very good testimonies being like your God. So, he does not sleep, neither does he sleep. So, God is not in that state of inactivity. So, he worked. It means that God is not dormant.
is not passive. He is not lazy or inactive. I wrote, he isn't the least bit of time or fatigue. He isn't the least bit of time or fatigue. See something in Isaiah. Isaiah 40.
Yes,
we enter the progress. Have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither comes nor is weary. This is not tired. He never faints. Is constant. So I want to see constant in your doing. Are you seeing what's happening? Constant in your doing. Active. You know, some of you, the way you didn't walk, it's like you walk slow. Say, how are you? You know, we are supposed to be like a ministry that's active. We had a guy in senior high school. I had a guy, he was called Activa. Like, the guy was just active. Active that it makes me wonder.
Wow.
When it's just that's a cycle. Look, you can wake up in the morning. And the guy's just like in the morning, like, so his name was called Activa. So my name, you look at my he's very loud. Very loud.
Activa.
Wow. When you see down in this bar, it shows something very good. So he neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. His understanding is
unsearchable.
So the creator of the ends of the world neither faints nor is weary. So we can see that. That God has an activity of work. He works. Don't let anybody tell you that he doesn't work. Don't let anybody tell you that God is just sitting down. No, he works. And he's a working God. You see, after the Ten Commandments was given to Moses, let's see Exodus 32. Exodus 32. It spoke about how that God worked to write out
on tablets and stones. Exodus 32:16. Now the tablets were the work of God. This was actually God giving the instructions to Moses. So God gives the instructions to Moses. And see what it says in verse 16. Now the tablets were the works of God. And the writing was the writing of what? God. Engraved on the tablets. Right? The tablets were the works of God. It is God is active. God is active. He does something. There's something he's always doing. Are you listening? So Moses then acts in the journey. Moses then is asking in Deuteronomy chapter 3, verses 24. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verses 24. Then I pleaded with the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do like your works and your mighty deeds? Who can put his hand to work like you? Who creates something this beautiful like you? Who writes on tablets and stones? It's the works of God. It's the works of God. So the moment you find yourself that you can't stand for long, it's not good. How old are you?
When I stand for 20 minutes, I need a church to stand.
Stand there and be quiet. So he's asking, who can do anything like your works and your mighty deeds? Deuteronomy 32 verse 4. So Moses is now about to declare again. Deuteronomy 32 verse 4. He is the rock. His work is what? So when they send you, you have to follow up with it. It will never be done the way they say it should happen. Give it up for the sound, guys. I was sitting in my room with I was telling him, hey, you can't give me any sound. Go and make sure it works. Make sure it works. So you can see that the works of their hands. Because when I don't do that, you will not grow. You become very petty and stupid. They have to always be patting you on the back. So today I had something. I said, hey, today, give us good sound. I actually sat in my room and I saw a vision. And it's like I was doing this.
Wow.
So I God wants
to
do this.
So thank you guys so
much. For your good works. So, there are words. See, that's how your company should be telling you that.
Amen. 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 Amen.
We can see of your works. That there's something about your works.
Amen.
Don't do my other. Although it's
very important. Because he has information.
He has the information.
Information.
You see something very beautiful.
Wow.
So he has information. You see something. But that's how your works are going to be.
Amen.
They're going to be beautiful.
Amen.
They're going to be beautiful.
Amen.
You see, we don't know about it. We can't find peace. We can't find anyone like you.
Amen.
Your words. So take your seat. So in Genesis, Deuteronomy 32, verse 4.
He is the rock. His work is perfect. He needs to give you something to do. You don't need to follow up on it again.
When I was a child, my mother always hits my head. So when you need something to do, you have to follow up on it again. And so, as for Pascal, if you give you something, go and wait ahead of what he's giving you to see if it's done.
Wow.
Yeah. God was supposed to just, I think, it's not all boys, but many boys are like that. They just. It's not boring. It's not boring. Not all boys, but some boys. In fact, maybe actually. Like when you are growing, maybe 10, 11, 13. Not that they don't want to do it, but they are just, they think about a lot of things and they are busy about a lot of things. They don't have time to. So if you tell a boy to wash his shirt 10 years, the new shirt is become brown. So, you know, if you just don't like it, picked as a mother and was for them to wear. Yes. So the works of your hands are going to be very perfect.
Amen.
Works of your hands. They are going to be perfect. Works of your hands. Works of your hands. Works of your hands. His work is perfect. His works are perfect. So you can see that Moses, who was actually God's spokesperson, what? The prophet is the one giving this testimony about God. This God works. Let's see what Joshua has to say. Joshua speaks about the elders that knew or that had known the words of God. 24:31. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. They were works. So the elders actually were testifying of the works of God, the labor of God, the toil of God. They testify. That's why the truth of the matter is that you actually grow older quicker when you do not. That's the truth. So you see, a lot of people retire. 6 years, they start to age faster. Because man was created to be like God, is to be a worker. Someone wanted to start a school and then the person spoke to me and I said, how would you consider your grandmother? He said, oh, my grandmother is good. I said, no, she would actually want to go. Because the more she works, she would not age very quickly. And the more she would be happy. Because depression, thoughts, confusions, they come when there's inactivity.
So if God has been working, is working, continually working, we also have to be workers. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So the prophets are acknowledging the works of God. Joshua and the elders are acknowledging the works of God. And we're going to look at a few more utterances of the prophets about God's labor or toil or God's handiwork. Let's see Isaiah. So we're reading Isaiah 29. Isaiah 29. And we're reading verse 14. I hope you are there. Isaiah 29, verse 14. Therefore, behold, I will again do a marvelous work. Where? I will again do a marvelous work. I will again. And my works are going to be marvelous. Do you see that? Works are going to be marvelous. Not sheepishly done, not carelessly done, empty, just doing nothing. No, my works are going to be marvelous. Works are going to be marvelous. So I am going to do a marvelous work. Among these people, a marvelous work and a wonder. A work that makes you wonder. That's quite some excellence and power. I pray that you will be workers that make you wonder. In your schools, there has to be a marvelous wonder. You have to pour in your time. With. In that business, you have to be a marvelous wonder.
Yeah.
Some of you will ask you to show shirts for us. You are a tailor, but when they ask you to show shirts, the hand is bigger than the other hand. Those ones are is very painful. Your last material. Some of you know material. I used to cover myself. Because I was not sure what I was going to do to who is going to do this work for me. So I just used to call myself. It's a problem here in my life. I used to call myself. Because I'm not too sure who will do this work. If somebody came and told me, I said, wow, it can be used so soon. That's how I used to call myself. Now, the last work. So your works are going to be marvelous. Your works are going to be marvelous.
Amen.
See, be known for doing things with excellence. Are you listening? Be known for doing things with excellence. Don't do things and they have to call you, and then they have to call you, and then they have to check up, and then they have to call you, and then they have to call you again. No. Take your seats. So, Isaiah 29 verse 14 speaks of the wondrous works of God. Let's see Isaiah 60 verse 21. Isaiah 60, verse 21. Do good work. Are you listening?
Yes,
sir. I'm trying to tell you that God is active. He's not passive. The ratio of work to rest is what?
6 to 1.
6 to 1. Are you listening?
Yes,
sir. 6 to 1. 6 to 21. Also, your people shall all be what? Righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the works of my hand, that I may be glorified. Isaiah 64 verse 8. The works of the Lord's hand. Yes,
glory.
Verse 8. But now, O Lord, you are my Father. We are the king. And you, our and all we are the work of your hands. We're the clean. We are the clean. Say, I'm the clean.
I'm the clean.
You know, I believe that
man is very complicated. I mean, every living thing that has blood flowing is quite complicated. Your heart stops beating for 10 seconds. In your 10 seconds, you should just be quiet. Those are the works of God. The number of blood vessels flowing through you. You know, it takes 6 years or 7 years, maybe 27 minutes. That's general medicine. Then it takes more to specialize in maybe the eye only, the ear only. So the teeth, the heart, and sometimes it takes some more years. It shows how great God put his mind into living man and every other living thing. You all know the company of music. It's like it changes. You know what that would mean. It can be this one, it just comes slowly and then it changes into this color. They were dry.
Dead,
right? Dead. A dry color, not like, I think of a light color. Like when you saw it, it just comes maybe here like this. Then it's a different color. So before you realize, it just changes into the color. It camouflage.
Yes, yes.
What's it
called?
I've seen it before. So just you see that the so you see that man's perception of light bulbs in different colors is actually God.
Wow.
There's nothing in you. All his works are revealed in his creation. There's nothing new at all. So in Isaiah 64, verse 8, but now, O Lord, you are Father. We are the clay. It means he created us, and you are our potter. And all we are the works of your hands. All that we are. Let's see Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah 32. Are you getting convinced that God is a very, very hardworking God?
Yes.
Jeremiah
32.
Verse 19. As for you, do something so much. You walk up the stairs. You are already in a big man. Give me a look,
hey.
Just one stair, yeah. We should give you a look. Then when we only send you two and back,
oh,
we have to buy you. I don't know what we have to buy you. But, rush. Rush. So in Jeremiah 32, verse 19, you are great in counsel and mighty in work, for your eyes are open to all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways. And according to the fruit of his name. You are great in counsel and mighty in words. In your father, previous verse, he calls him the great, the mighty God, whose name is the Lord of hosts. You are great in counsel, mighty in words, mighty in doings. Mighty in doings. That's why the gift is called the working of miracles. You see something practically happening. It's practical. So God is mighty in what? He's doing something. He's not passive. He's not lazy. He's not inactive. So if you are lazy, we should ask you. That's why you cannot do what you call mighty and mighty. Mighty and mighty. Mighty and mighty.
Mighty and mighty.
Mighty and mighty.
Mighty and mighty.
Mighty in doing.
Mighty in doing.
We're going to do something in Nehemiah chapter 6. Nehemiah chapter 6. Mighty in words. Okay, but before that, let's go to Habakkuk. Habakkuk is just always at the last. Those of you. Out chapter 1, verse 5. For I will work a work in your days. I will work a work in your days, which you would not believe, though it were told you. Is that the wonderful, wondrous works of God?
Yes.
It's going to work a work. It's going to work a work. So those of you who are slow to work, it should begin to change your culture and your mind and approach to how God wants you. Working. His works are wondrous. His works are mighty. His works are excellent. We're going to pray this short prayer that we receive revelation and insight into what is taught this very day. You know, revelation knowledge is quite different. You see, the knowledge that is natural to the perception of man. It means that you have to be logical. But revelation knowledge is what the Spirit reveals as is of God. So I'll be talking to you. The natural man hears me speak to you on natural terms. The man who receives revelation knowledge and insight into what I'm teaching has clear understanding. There's a revealed part of what God is saying. You know, I'm happy and say, I disagree with what you're saying. I want something super. I don't think God is really worth that. I mean, yeah, I don't think it's so. But there's no one like that. There's revelation knowledge. As touching what you are being taught in this part. Something a little bit more than just the natural that you hear. You know what you have to do with doing? What you have to do with doing? What you have to do with doing? The state of activity. No, It's something that the Lord is doing in your minds today. Is that as this session is gone, you suddenly realize a tendency for wealth. But you know what? As we move into the actual juice of the session, you realize that it really affects your sexual work. Like the way you work where you are, it will affect you. Such that you will become very disciples wherever you find yourself. So there are no words. The only word that I believe is the word is the word of salvation. But even with that, he tells us to show what. He says, you will become the salvation that you've already received. And you do that with fear and trembling. The word fear and trembling is actually with urgency. So you do that as though it depends on works that is actually from works. So the believer is not devoid of works. He's not devoid of works will not save him. Works cannot save him. But we need the works. So there's a duty. That's why Moses says, you are always doing.